I like it a lot. If I could do it full time, I 100% would.
Yeah.
Because literally being paid money to just express your opinion online is pretty nice.
You literally couldn't pay me to do that. But it sounds like you're having fun, and that's great.
I am.
Yes.
What was the...
I'm just trying to couch it. Sometimes I say things that I'm afraid then come off as like, yeah, I think what you're doing is bad.
No, no, yeah. That didn't come off that way at all.
Okay. Well, I have to add those stupid appendings because I'm like afraid of that I've offended someone.
I was just laughing because the way you said it reminded me of that absolutely accidentally shady comment my mom left on my Facebook once, which was, glad you're doing well.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Welcome to a new episode of Why Did We Watch This, the podcast where three friends sit down with a troubled movie, a themed cocktail, talk about what worked, what didn't, and how they could fix it. But this is a mini episode. And before we get into all of that, I am Chris Revell.
I'm Lee Delahanty.
And I am Brendan Drischler.
You are. Yeah, so welcome to a mini episode. We're just going to announce what movie we're going to do in 2 weeks. And that movie is Three to Tango. What year was that?
1999.
On the doorstep of Y2K.
Yes.
Y2K classic.
We learned
see everyone's existential angst and dread in their eyes as they're filming this movie.
Yes, exactly. Thinking,
what will happen when the computers collapse?
Beads of sweat are just like pouring down.
Yes, as the movie sequentially goes on, everyone gets more and more nervous.
But yeah, you know, it's... On the doorstep of Y2K, we learned that it really does take three to tango.
Yes. And that it's so very funny to pretend to be gay.
It is. I guess if we had to sum it up, it's like a fake gay to win a girl kind of rom-com. Right.
Yeah. More or less. Accurate? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would say the Matthew Perry, the one thing I would throw in is the Matthew Perry is presumed to be gay and then does not correct it. It's not so much that he shows up and pretends to be gay, you know, for whatever little, you know, bonus points that may give you.
Yeah. We'll definitely get into it during the episode because I actually have a kajillion thoughts about it. But
yeah.
What are we going to drink to take the edge off this film?
So the drink that we will be making for Three to Tango is called a hot osky. It's kind of a take on a hot toddy. It's going to be 1 ounce of honey ginger syrup, 2 ounces of bourbon, lemon, and blueberries. To make the honey ginger syrup, very simple and straightforward. You just take half a cup of honey, half a cup of water. You mix them together in a pot on the stove. Let it come to just below a boil. Turn it down and let it simmer, and then throw in about 1 ounce of grated ginger. Once you've let it simmer for a while, let it cool, strain the ginger out, and then it'll keep for about a week or so in the fridge. To make the actual drink itself, you're going to muddle 1.5 ounces of blueberries and 2 lemon slices in a heat-proof vessel. Pour 1 cup of hot water into the vessel and let it steep for 5 minutes. Pour bourbon and honey ginger syrup into a mug, then strain the water into the mug and give it a stir. Then you just garnish with some other blueberries and a lemon slice, and there you go. You've got your hot osky, baby.
I'm excited. Sounds really tasty.
Me too. It's good to have a hot drink because it'll probably be like 30 degrees if we're lucky.
Yeah. And also, I thought it was warmer today, and then I went outside and I cried.
I had the same thing. I was like, oh, it's sunny, ergo it's warm out.
Yeah.
And then, like, stepped outside and was like, oh no, this is bad.
It was at least by a few degrees, at least less freezing than yesterday.
Yes, that's true. It has slightly improved in that currently all the snow in our driveway is melting and reforming into ice, which is great. Love
but
it.
There is just like, from when I walked below, there was just a solid wall of wind I was walking through the whole time that just ran right through my sweater and coat.
Awful.
Well, anywho.
Not looking forward to going into work tomorrow.
No. They haven't really plowed out the parking lot where I park my car. So it was pretty interesting getting in and out this morning.
Oh, fun.
So our little game that we're gonna play.
Yeah, we're gonna play a little game.
We're gonna play a little game. I have been, as is my wont usually, at least over the past couple years, I have just, when the weather turns cold, I turn towards the cozy mystery, and I'll just kind of define, maybe not everyone will agree with this definition, but for me, the cozy mystery is usually a murder mystery. I actually don't think they usually don't make them about non-murders. But the way it works is there is usually an expert sleuth who is usually not like a active member of actual law enforcement. They're usually not an actual cop. They're usually not an actual detective. There are exceptions to that rule, as I will kind of get into in this game. But they're typically, if they are a part of law enforcement, they're kind of considered to be a bit of an outlier, or maybe like especially a little weird or odd how they do things. Usually, despite the fact that it's murder, the stakes don't really feel super high outside of just needing to solve the murder itself, and that the tone in general is pretty light.
I would always say real quick, it just seems that like by and large, people don't seem to like or care about the person who's been murdered. It's not that they're necessarily a bad person, but people are sort of largely apathetic to the fact that they're dead, you know?
And outside of the fact that they're dead and that's what's kicked off the plot, the show kind of doesn't care that much either.
Right. You don't deal with like crying hysterical family members.
Right. And it's pretty much always going to be wrapped up by episode end with like a definitive, this was the killer. Usually the killer will like confess to what they did in elaborate monologue. Sometimes our sleuth is, you know, kind of Poirot style, gathering people in the parlor
the accusing parlor.
Yes, exactly. I would say like Poirot counts as a cozy mystery just because when you watch it, yes, it's a murder mystery, but you're ultimately, it's very comforting in its vibes. It's very relaxed. The stakes are not really that high, and the tension is not very present.
Marple, obviously. The thing I would also throw in real quick is I feel like a lot of times, not always the case necessarily, but a lot of the times they're in remote locations or small towns. It's very rare that you get someone like, you know, in New York City.
Although it does happen.
Yeah, no.
Okay, true. So what prevents, I've been listening carefully to your definition, mm-hmm. to the metrics.
Yeah.
What prevents Psych from being a cozy mystery?
Oh, it is a cozy mystery.
You think Psych is a cozy mystery?
I do.
I don't know that I agree.
I would say by the definition I've laid out, Psych is a cozy mystery. I would say, is it different from something like Murder, She Wrote? Yes. But where they are similar,
guess, like,
is in the height of the stakes and the lack of tension.
I guess if that's the way you define it, but I feel like a lot of people include some inherent character, like some inherent requirements about maybe the setting or the type of character.
Is it that Psych is, dare I say, a little more snarky? The characters are a little more, dare I say, snarky, maybe?
Well, it's like urban, and I don't mean that as code for like Black. Ethnic.
No, but it's in a city.
Yes.
It's in a city. It's in a modern city, and it is young people. And I feel like when I hear a lot of other people talk about cozy mysteries, it would be like countryside at the very least, or rural, or British, but not necessarily British, but that helps.
Very often it is all of those things.
So I don't know. I agree that if your metrics are as you describe, then Psych is a cozy mystery, but I don't know that I agree with that definition then, because I don't know that anyone's saying, this is like calling a hot dog a sandwich kind of a debate, right? It just doesn't feel true that Psych is a cozy mystery.
I guess for me, where it's up to me, the thing I would say is I think it comes down a little bit to tone, and maybe that goes with the snarkiness that I had said.
Yeah.
But I think it also has something to do with the fact that Psych is a little more irreverent and jokey in its tone, maybe. And a lot of these can be funny, certainly, but they're not necessarily like kind of in on the joke as much, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, so I mean,
maybe that's my thought, but
if we're using Chris's definition, it counts, but it doesn't. Yeah, there's something about it that doesn't feel like it fits the cozy. Like I would maybe give you Monk. I would probably give you Monk.
I could take Monk. Yeah.
But I wouldn't give you Psych.
That's fine. I will also say, like, you know, it's a very subjective interpretive definition, right? Like, also what I find cozy might not be the same thing what other people find cozy.
That's true.
Are there what's the rating? Like, what's the word for it? Movie rating style. Like, what is the high? Is it PG-13 or is that even too high?
No, it would probably be like PG-13. Although cursing usually is not in
Yeah, I mean, well, I was going to say, I feel like, because the thing that I think would bump you up to R would be like sex or violence, right? And yeah, by and large, there's not necessarily a lot of explicit sex. You might get the sort of like, they were having an affair with so-and-so.
Yeah, yeah.
And you might get something where like, you know, you find the victim's body lying on the ground, but odds are you're not going to walk in and they're like dismembered with guts all over the room, you know? So I feel like if there is an R-rated cozy mystery, it is not something that I'm familiar with. I'm sure there is an exception, but...
So we're talking pre-watershed, strictly.
Yes. Yes.
Nothing after the 10 p.m., 11 p.m., or whatever cutoff
yes.
you have.
Yeah. Right. Yes. We all are... gentle things that our children can watch with us.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. To celebrate this love of cozy mysteries, I have pulled and I have created a... In the past, we've done these, like, fake real titles, right? Mm-hmm. Some of these are going to be titles that are actual episode titles of a known cozy mystery series. And I will tell you what it is once we get there. But some of these I've made up. And this is also speaking to some different patterns I've noticed in how these episodes are usually titled or presented.
So wait, I'm sorry, just to clarify, you are giving us episode titles, not TV show titles, right?
Or correct. Like something.
Okay.
I was thinking about doing TV show titles, but and there are like lots out there. Mm-hmm. But in terms of when I found it was more fertile ground to dig into the episode titles.
No, that makes sense.
Particularly because the chances of you having heard about the episode title are much lower than you having heard of the show.
Slim to none, I would say, for me.
Don't some shows have like a very strict like format? Would that get in the way of? I mean, not that I would probably know the format.
Some of them, but at least in this case, the ones I was pulling from indulged in a whole bunch of different ones.
Okay.
There is one series, and I'll mention it when we get there, that had a couple of recurring formats that I did not see come up with the other titles.
Mm. Okay.
Or other shows, rather. So just like the way that we've played this before, once we get to the end of each little category, and there's five of them with five titles each, just let me know at the end of it what you think the unstated theme of that category was.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay. Are we ready?
We still have to say true or false for each individual title.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So we should all also keep track of what we say. So I'm going to open up a tab here real quick so everyone do your own work.
Do I need to give you a second to get a
pencil? I've got one open. I'm good now. Pencil and paper. Yeah. Teach. What is this? 1950?
My
Come
words
on.
Per minute. Out of control.
Okay.
Yeah,
so here's the first title. Diagnosis Murder.
I mean, I feel like if you meant it to be fake, I feel like I could probably find you a TV show episode.
Well, I mean, there is a TV show called Diagnosis Murder. That's the thing. I know that much. So,
but
like,
is there an episode?
Right.
There,
no. So it stands to reason that theoretically, whether or not it was an episode on the show or not, Diagnosis Murder is a true title. That is what I'm going with.
Okay. What do you think, Lee?
I've also gone true.
I know it's the name of the TV show, but I made that one up.
Oh.
It is not real. But you might see why I put that in there, because our next one is Prescription Murder.
Well, logically, I'm going to assume that this is real then, unless you're trying to do the teacher fake out.
Yeah, you're doing a teacher. Yeah, you're doing like a the sound. I'm also going to put true, because at least I'll be even keel.
Yeah.
You are both correct. It is the it's one of the first episodes of Columbo Prescription Murder. Basically, Columbo realizes who the murderer was of these like two writers, and like one was the actual writer and the other one was just the like person presenting themselves as the successful writer. And he was like, I knew you were the one who did the killing because it was really terribly done. You have bad ideas. So yeah. Okay.
What an asshole.
Here's our third title in this section. 1-800-MURDER.
I can buy that.
I'm going to diverge like Robert Frost before me.
I'll take the road less traveled.
1-800-MURDER, not real. I made it up. Just like Jonathan Frakes.
It feels like something that would have come up in the 80s due to our infatuation with 1-800 numbers. You know, like someone would have been like, hey, here's a great idea. What if we use that as a setting somehow?
When I Googled it, I was kind of surprised it wasn't a title. for an episode of television.
It feels like it should be.
There is a like a self-published book on Amazon called The 1-800 Mergers, but I figured that did not count. All right, here is number four. Lights, camera, murder.
I will say real.
I'm also going to say real. Seems like I've watched something like that.
You are both correct. It is the title of an episode of the extremely, like, aggressively cozy mystery series, Sister Boniface.
I've never heard of that one.
Sister Boniface, she a nun?
Yeah, and it's a spinoff of Father Brown, and she's a winemaking nun who also has, like, I think it's like a PhD in forensics. So she, this is an episode where a, like, really popular TV show is filming at the, like, convent where she works.
Feels
naturally.
Felt like it could have been an episode of, like, Remington Steele that I
yes, it does.
But it wouldn't feel, have been, because it would have had to have had Steele in the title somewhere.
Right. Lights, Steele, murder.
It would have been, like, stealing the action.
Lights, camera,
something.
Steele, yeah.
Stealing the spotlight.
Yeah, they shot themselves in the foot with that one, because it's all, yeah, like, you've got to have puns with Steele and Still.
Yeah, once you, like, get into that gimmick, you really kind of screw yourself.
Yeah.
All right, and here's number five of the section, Marked for Murder.
Is it about a guy named Mark that gets murdered?
Or about false. A guy named Mark who murders people.
Mm.
I'll say false, too.
It is real. It is an episode of Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries. Okay. Personal favorite of mine. It's about an Australian flapper in the 1920s who solved crimes.
Miss Fisher. But she had a gentleman, didn't she?
Yes, but then she also had other men that she would fuck. That's while right. The there was romance, like, was building.
Sort of heavens. Like a guy that was, like, kind of cool.
Yeah, he's like the local police inspector, Jack Dawson.
Did I watch all of that? Or did it?
Probably.
I don't know. I don't remember how it ended at all. Did it just end unceremoniously?
Yes. They kind of concluded it, but fans were not pleased. At least I was not pleased.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so having reached the end of that section, what do we think the incredibly difficult to find theme was?
Well, it's something like bad
blank murder, right? Yes. Yeah, phrase and then murder.
Exactly. Not even, I mean, in some cases, not even really puns. Right?
Yeah, not
right.
Really a pun,
just,
but like,
yeah, just like a statement.
It in a thing, yeah.
Yeah, something you would then throw murder on, yes.
Okay, we're moving on to our next section. Hooray for Homicide.
Okay.
Hooray for Homicide.
That's pretty great. So I'm going to hope that it's real.
I said false. I can't think it could be real.
It is an episode in the first season of Murder, She Wrote. It is nice. Real.
That feels right.
Okay.
Hooray for Homicide.
Exactly. Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
And this is going to be difficult for me to pronounce, but Murder in Montparnasse. Murder in Montparnasse.
Oh, this is alliteration.
Yeah, I'm going to say this is real.
I'm also going to say real.
You did also guess the theme correctly. it is well, real. Definitely. That is another episode of Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries. Another alliterative title.
Listen, you can't come to the fucking all prime emperor of alliteration with and like, I'm not gonna figure your game out in two quotes or less.
Okay, here's the next one. Mother, May I Murder.
No.
Yeah, I'm gonna say no.
No, false.
Okay, you're both right. It is false. What gave it away? Was it just too
no, it just can't. It's almost as bad. It's a degree worse than Hooray for Homicide, which I still can't believe is real. And yeah, it just sounds so silly.
It does. I don't know. There's just something about it that doesn't quite fully ring true. I don't know if it's the fact that, like, maybe the expression mother, may I, usually just stops there. You know, it's not usually mother, may I, you know, may I leave or something. So maybe that did it.
Maybe.
It's also implying that a child did a murder, which doesn't seem very cozy.
Or, well, I suppose it could be like an adult woman with a domineering mother or something.
Everyone's maybe a child of someone.
That's true. We're all someone's children.
Everyone's someone's son. Sorry, that was an episode of Dropout. One of the they were doing it was a D&D, but it was like this. They found themselves in a heightened Grey's Anatomy setting. Don't ask too many questions. And that was like Erica Ishii, who's like very well versed in Grey's Anatomy, was like in the middle of the scene. And she's like, "He's someone's son," and they go, "Everyone is someone's son." It's their favorite thing.
There's There's a Simpsons episode where Springfield Elementary goes bankrupt and it gets secretly bought out by like a toy making manufacturer, and they're secretly using the children to like do product testing. And Lisa finds this out and like complains to the corporate overlords, and they're like, hey, like, I know you think this sounds pretty bad, but like, this is the first toy designed by children for children, with all the profits going to children. And Lisa goes, really? And the guy goes, yeah, I mean, we're all someone's children, right?
Okay, here is our next one. Lividity in Lycra. So what? Lividity being, it's like a thing that people check out on,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
forensic.
Yeah,
so
no, I got
Lividity
you.
In Lycra.
I gotta say no.
I'm doing the math on like, did Chris,
yeah, how
sort
many
of
have
like
been
look up Lividity to find out to like put it in a cozy mystery and
right,
like just double
and then
check
was thinking
that
about like 80s things that were
and
popular.
Then Lycra. Fuck it. I'm say true.
Leah's correct. It's real. Lividity in Lycra is the title of an, actually, it's from like the past 5 years. It's a cozy mystery starring Lucy Lawless called My Life is Murder.
I've never heard of this in my life.
It's basically like she's a retired detective, but she keeps getting pulled back into cases. It's like a drama.
I thought I was
it's,
out.
It's fun. I mean, I love Lucy Lawless, so I guess Lucy Lawless is in Lividity and Lycra is really just like the Uber alliteration.
I call her Lucy Lawful. Thank you.
Yes, I'm so sorry.
Lucy
Law
Chaotic Lawless.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
The bad baby joke, because that's chaotic and lawful are the,
yes,
are,
yeah,
are the same side of the spectrum. Lawless evil.
Lawless evil. I like that. Okay. Here's the last title of the section. Poisoned Pen Parade.
Huh. Sounds plausible.
I'm going to say no to this one.
I'm also going to say false.
Yeah, it is false. Yeah. I kind of wish it was real, though.
Give it to me one more time.
Poison Pen Parade.
Okay, yeah. I think it's the parade that did it. I think, like,
if I just did Poison Pen, you would have been like,
I think
oh,
if
okay,
it was just, like, the poisoned pen, because, like, a poisonous pen is already, like, you know, a metaphorical thing that exists, you know? And then also if it were, like, why the ink inside this pen is poisoned and someone stabbed her with it.
Right.
It would be like, yes.
I still wish the Wizard Convenience Store was real.
Oh, yes! Yeah. I remember that!
The K-drama titles. It was all like...
Wasn't there also, yes, like, a diner for witches you came
that's
up with?
A real one. It's okay. Witch, the Witch Cafe or whatever. A Witch's Cafe. But then it was just the Wizard's Convenience Store. There's like a,
I love that.
It was like mythical creature place.
I want to go there.
Yes, me too.
Well, as Lee guessed, yeah, that was alliteration.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well done, Lee.
Let's see if you can get this next section. Okay, here we go. Toast to the Newly Dead.
Huh. I hope that's real.
Yeah, I guess I can't think of a reason why it's false, so I'm going to say true.
It is indeed a real episode of Sister Boniface, where someone dies at a wedding. So it's supposed to be Toast to the Newly Wed. Now it's Toast to the Newly Dead.
Oh, I get it now.
Oh.
Now I get it. I was just perplexed before. Now
is
it makes
the
sense.
Pun? Is this the pun category?
It sure is.
Okay.
It definitely is. Okay.
I didn't know it was a pun until you explained it. I wouldn't have gotten it if you haven't explained that it was a pun.
I guess that's fair. I did shoot myself in the foot on that one.
I just like, did you get the newly dead thing?
Yes, I did.
I did not.
I did.
I am a little blind to some jokes sometimes, or puns.
Your pun blindness is showing its head.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the next one. Taking a stab at it. Taking a stab.
I mean, that feels pretty plausible.
It was plausible, but they're all puns. They're all,
yeah, no, that's
feel
true,
pretty plausible, aren't they?
I guess I'll say fake, because it sounds plausible, but it also sounds a little, I don't know. There's something a little generic or overthought. I can't quite put my finger on it. Someone's giggling at my thoughts.
No, it was just, I like that phrase. It's either, what was it? Too simple?
It's either like too much or too little.
Or, yes, exactly. That's what I was laughing at. It was just very funny to hear it put
there's,
that way.
There's something amiss here. It's too much or too little, but one
I'm
way or the other.
Also going to say false, just as sort of a strategic move, because we've just had a real one.
That's true, too.
It is indeed fake.
Yeah.
Made it up.
I'm seeing out.
Okay. This next one. Bon Bon Bonfire.
Bon Bon Bonfire? Why? Where's the murder?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think.
Where's
it
the
like
crime?
Is it, Guy Fawkes Day or something.
Too much desserts?
Yeah, someone had too much dessert on Guy Fawkes Day.
Oh, it's simply sinful to eat this many bonbons.
Was somebody killed with a s'more?
Yeah, their blood sugar spiked.
Bonbon.
The real killer is diabetes.
Yes, I'm gonna say no because this doesn't fully make sense to me.
I don't think false because I don't understand the murder crime aspect of it.
Yeah,
that's
but
fair.
Fascinated to hear if it is.
It is indeed. It is indeed fake. I'm so
okay,
sorry.
Great. I would have loved to have known precisely what the hell was going on there.
I know if it was real. I would be. I want you to. I wish you'd have lied and then just come up with an elaborate reason.
Yes.
Why and like actually, it's about a sly chocolatier. Chocolatier. Okay, here's the next one. A stitch in crime.
That feels real to me.
A stitch in crime.
Yeah, like a seamstress.
Yeah.
Seamstress killed. Yes, true.
It is real. It's an episode of Columbo.
Is it about a seamstress?
Or Taylor.
I vaguely remembered it. Yeah. I mean, it's basically like it is someone who like sews clothes.
Okay.
And I think it's like they're involved in like a larger crime that leads to the murder. All right. And then here is the last one of this section. To die for, spelled D-Y-E.
No, false.
Yeah, I'm going to say no also on that.
You're both wrong. It is real.
No.
It's an episode of My Life is Murder starring Lucy Lawless. I'm sorry, Lucy Lawless Chaotic. Chaotic
Lawless. A good one playing the two sort of clothing related ones.
Yeah, right back to back.
Side by side, because we just had a tailor, so we can't have like a...
Right, I was like, yeah, that would be too silly.
Although,
yeah.
I believe in the episode it's about hair dye, to be fair.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, I also immediately went to, like, fabric.
Because you had fabric on the mind, BB.
Yes, all my stitching.
So, yeah, as Lee guessed, that was the pun section. Okay, let's try this next one. One, two, buckle my shoe.
Is this nursery rhymes or, like, children's verses?
Yes, it is, Brendan. Yes, it
is. I had to get it out before Lee said it.
Yeah.
I will say no, though, because I feel like if it were, there would be something a little more to zhuzh it up, you know, and one, two, buckle my shoe is just kind of the first part of that child's counting rhyme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like it would be like, you know, I don't know, like one, two, buckle your grave or something dumb
yeah,
like that.
But there aren't a lot of children's rhymes that are going to have like, unless it's like we all fall down or something.
Yeah, right. I think because like, isn't that like kind of an Agatha Christie shtick with, you know, like the
well,
whole
like the,
10 little Indians.
Done,
yeah, right. Right.
But
it is a thing. It's a thing you see in a lot of mystery fiction, not just cozy. Right.
Yeah. But I guess I'll say false too. I don't know what else is coming. It's the first one. It's too little information.
Yeah.
It is indeed real. It's an episode of Poirot.
So what is it about? Does someone die whilst buckling their shoe?
I frankly don't remember. Okay. I did look it up, though, just to make sure I had the title right, because I'm like, I'm pretty sure there was one. But yeah, that one.
Are these all going to be Christie? Does anyone else do this ever?
Yeah.
You'll see.
Shut up.
But I'm going to look this up real quick, though, just to see. Oh, it's basically like there's someone who apparently has like died of an overdose of anesthetic. It doesn't really have a lot to do with the title. I think it was one of those deals where like the title was recognizable and kind of clever sounding.
Yeah, she just needed a title at that point.
Right. Here we have the next one. Miss Mary Mack.
Miss what? Is that a children's rhyme?
Miss Mary Mack. It's like a jump rope rhyme. All dressed in black.
All dressed in black.
I'm saying false again. I don't know what it is. I don't think it's real. I don't believe you.
I will say it's fake too, just because it sounds like... It would be a weirdly specific dive. Like, what would that mean in the story? Is except like there was a woman named Mary Mack and she's killed or something. But at that point, just kind of like, okay, now again we're stretching here. But
you are correct.
I'll also stay fake. Okay,
it is indeed fake. Yeah,
got that one right. All right. Got that one right.
Are you ready for the next one?
Yeah.
4 and 20 blackbirds.
That feels real. I don't know why, but that feels real.
Yeah, I agree. It feels real.
Like, I don't know what it fully means. I feel like blackbird could be slang for something, you know?
Isn't that one about pie? Is that one about pies?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sing a song of sixpence, pocket full of
so maybe
pie.
There's poison pies. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sticking with real.
It is indeed.
What?
It is a... Oh, wait. No, sorry. I had that marked wrong. That is
okay.
Real. Sorry.
Okay.
And it is also...
I was going to be like, damn.
It is also Poirot.
Okay.
It was a... Yeah.
Maybe that's why.
Find the poison pies.
Yeah, his fucking
to sort of like bend the rules a little bit to include that one because it had a different title as an episode of television, but it's from that short story with that title. Ah. So I kind of figure.
Do you remember what the episode was for TV, out of curiosity? What the title, I mean, was for TV?
That's a good...
I'm just curious, like, see. Why they changed it. Unless, like, again, like, is Blackbird somehow racist and I didn't know?
Oh, no, that was the title of it. I'm so sorry. Okay. Yeah, that was the title of the episode. I don't know why. I must have gotten that note mixed up with something else. But yeah, no, that was the title of it. 420 Blackbirds came out in 1989.
Okay, that felt right.
Okay. Blop. Okay, the next one is heads, shoulders, knees, and toes.
That can't be real. False.
Yeah, my inclination is also false.
Well, but I don't know if it's like a, I don't know if it's a Columbo or like...
Heads, shoulders, knees, and toes,
I mean, but that to me also feels kind of a little bit like we found a head over here, a shoulders over here, a knees over here. Yeah, I feel like that's the way it makes sense, and that's a little morbid. I don't know. I'm still saying no.
I'm going to say true just to be different.
It is indeed fake, I'm so sorry to say.
Well, I had to, I got to like diverge every now and then. You got to zag on them.
And that has made all the difference.
And this is the last one in the section. And then we have one section left. And this one is simply titled Sticks and Stones.
True.
I'm going to say true also. That feels true.
That is real. It's an episode of Murder, She Wrote, which is indeed about like someone basically murdering over the perception that they're being like slandered. So like those are the words that should never hurt you, right?
Right. That tracks. Absolutely.
Okay. So as Brendan guessed, it's nursery rhymes. Okay, here's our last section. Dead heat. Dead heat.
I think that's
now, to
true.
Be clear, just so you're aware, there is a late 80s movie about a zombie cop called Dead Heat, but this is television.
Good. That's so a good one.
It's a good pun.
I would still say true. It sounds to me like it could be something about racing or something, like there's a jockey who's murdered.
Now, I'm confused because this is sort of also a pun, which we've already had, and it could be similar to the first one where instead of we do the word murder, it's just the word dead.
Yeah.
Is it like the first one where it's the word dead instead of murder?
Yes.
I really appreciate that you tried, Chris. I'm sure it was very difficult to do this shit.
I gave it a shot.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure it's very hard to find like things that are similar with these titles sometimes.
I mean,
surprising and difficult
to
pick up on.
The titles are notably good, but the category, the problem is that you're dealing with two people that I think have very good pattern recognition.
Yes. And you're also extremely media literate. So
yeah.
And learning through the how I think we're pretty like neck and neck and we're doing pretty well overall is that we're genre savvy, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yes, exactly.
It feels real. It feels fake.
You're also not unfamiliar with this kind of work. I mean, even if you haven't watched a ton of it, it's still in some ways familiar.
Yeah.
No, like I've seen a few episodes of Columbo here and there. I've seen some
stuff. Just to press you, what are our guesses?
I said true for.
I said true also. I think it's also real.
It is real. It is an episode of Murder, She Wrote, where she solves a murder of a jockey at a racetrack.
Damn. I called it.
So you're absolutely correct. Okay. This next one is Dead Weight.
Ooh.
I mean, here's the question. Is he trying to trick us by using another one that's so similar to it, right? I know we already determined that it's going to be like Dead Blank, but like... I don't know. Dead Weight feels a little similar to it. Because again, is this like a weightlifting competition? Someone is killed or some shit like that. Someone at the gym has a dumbbell thrown on their neck.
The problem is this is just like both of these are just so plausible.
Right.
That it's like, again, if Chris intended it to be fake, I feel like we could find an episode of a TV show somewhere out there. Maybe not a cozy mystery, but somebody has done something called
Dead Somebody Weight. Has done Dead Weight, yes.
So it's just a matter of if it was a cozy mystery or not. I'm going to say true again.
I'll say false just to shake things up.
He is correct. It's real.
Oh,
it's
nice
an
job.
Episode of Columbo where someone is killed in a dockside mansion and like tossed into the water, essentially.
Wait, I don't get it. Why is it called Dead Weight?
It's typically referred to in like boating terms of like if it's dead weight is someone who is taking up weight on the boat but isn't actually contributing or being helpful.
No, I mean I've heard of the expression dead weight before, but I didn't know like
how it related to that specifically. Okay, I got it.
It's a little confusing, but it's like he was on the boat and was like shot. Like the boat was docked and then was like shot through a window of the mansion that was like right there. Okay. And it also involves like a secret revolving bookcase. It's really fun.
Naturally. Okay.
I just wanted to point this out, by the way. There is an entire blog dedicated to recapping and summarizing episodes of Columbo, and it's called the Columbo File blog.
Of course it is.
So I just wanted to give them a shout out. Thank you so much. All right. Here's the third one. Dead man's chest.
Ooh.
False. I think that's got to be false. So we've had
I don't know.
We've had two real.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're due for a fake. And this is a little too piratey.
It is a little too piratey, but I guess it could also just be sort of like, I don't know. Maybe
like,
the dead man was getting. I was going to say, yeah, maybe the dead man was getting top surgery.
Yeah, maybe he had a cardiac event.
Yes. I'll say true for this one. Fuck
it.
Why not?
I'm sticking with it.
It is indeed real. It's an episode of Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries.
What's it about? What is the dead man's chest?
Basically, there's some people who are going after this like alleged like secret treasure. And then when they find it, one kills the other.
Okay.
But they use, it's almost like Scooby-Doo-ish because they use like the idea of pirate ghosts to kind of like throw people off the trail.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's our next one. Dead man's mirror.
Right. The thing that I would say is, to me, this sounds fake because I can't tell what this is supposed to be riffing on, you know? Like, yeah. I'm not familiar with an item in real life called a dead man's mirror, or like an expression being dead man's mirror. So I'd say, I mean, but then again, is that the trickaroo, right? Do you want it to sound implausibly dumb so that you can say it's real? I'll say it's fake.
What do you think, Lee?
It's hard because it's like it's a mixture of like strategy and competitiveness.
Right.
Whether I agree with Brendan or not, or or risk it. I just feel like now because the last one is also real, I feel like there's got to be at least one fake one here. So
or maybe this entire round is going to be all real ones. I think you're ahead of me is all I will say. I've been trying to keep track, but I think I've also might have messed up. So
I'm going to say
you're ahead of me.
I'm going to say true just because it feels like the sort of thing TV writers do where it's like, this is not really a thing or I looked it up and it's vaguely a thing and I just really need to title the it's due tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There's a mirror somewhere in the story.
Yeah.
Something. So if I'm hearing correct, Lee, you're saying true, and Brendan, you said false.
Yeah.
Okay. False. It's real. It's an episode of Poirot, and it's honestly very straightforward. There's an obnoxious man who outbids Poirot at an auction for an antique mirror, and then he's murdered sometime after he was like seeking Poirot's help for like looking into one of his business associates.
Okay. So there's no such thing as a dead man's mirror.
Right, that's what I was going to ask. Is this a play on anything at all? Or is this just like,
no, it's
a dead man and he has a mirror?
It just comes up with Poirot when I Google
it. Okay, great. That's what I want to know. It sounded to me like it could not possibly be a riff on a real thing, but I wouldn't be sure.
It is also just the title of the book, so I guess maybe we have to ask Agatha Christie's ghost or something.
Yeah, we know how she was starting to slip toward the end there. So.
All right. And here is the last one of the whole game. Dead man's hand. Dead man's hand.
Say that's real.
I'm going to say false because they've all been true so far.
It is indeed a real episode of Poker Face. Brendan was correct. The secret trick here was they're all real. And in this one, when a close friend of hers meets an untimely end, Natasha Lyonne basically...
Is that the pilot?
Yeah, it's the first episode.
Okay, yeah.
She basically gets involved in trying to like set up an actual terrible person to try and get like cleaned out in a poker game.
Right.
Then he's mysteriously killed, which is really interesting. Yeah. So that was my cozy mystery title game, everyone.
Well done.
Thank you so much.
Congrats.
Thank you. What were the final scores? Where we all land?
17 out of 25.
I believe I also have 17, but again, I think I might have fucked up. So I think Lee won or we're tied. I think either option feels plausible. Yeah.
So
Well, I love that. I hope.
I love that for you both. Yeah. At some point, I'll listen to this and go through and try and keep score and see who, like, if I was actually right about this at all.
I guess what this means is you're both tied up until, I guess, the next time we play one of these games and see if someone can pull ahead.
How horrible. Oh, I thought you meant literally tied up, like we were tied back to back in chairs.
No, on the tracks.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, that's exactly what I'm saying. I've already bound you with rope, and now I'm twirling my mustache and laughing evilly as a large steam engine approaches.
Getting off on your black horse and riding away. I'm not going to actually watch the train run you over. I'm just going to assume it happened.
Right. Well, it wouldn't be sporting for me to watch. I need to
gross.
I need to give your hero loved one a chance to come and save you.
Yes.
Hope that it was fun for people. Had a good time putting it together.
Yeah.
It was. Yes. I do need to think of another one to do at some point too. So I'll have to try and figure out what the hell that is.
It's a game forum I'm very enamored with.
I do as well, but I don't know what other wells I have to run.
Right, that's
with.
My problem too.
That's
I don't think I know enough things that you guys conceivably know like a little bit about. You know, like I feel like there are a lot of dumb things that I could pull this on, but it would be things that you guys just have no interest or are oblivious to. And at that point, it kind of stops being fun. You know, like if it's something you can't rationalize at all, it's just not entertaining to do. So I don't know. I'll have to think about this.
Yeah.
Well, you can think for as long as you want, because we're not coming back for another 2 weeks.
That's right.
With a full episode where we're going to be talking about 1999.
Gay panic shit.
3 to Tango, exactly.
But we'll go into it, I'm sure.
In two weeks.
Otherwise, you can find us on facebook.com/ywatchpodcast.
Podcast?
First time for everything, baby. and drappack.com/ywatch.
Just drappack.com is fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I guess for now we will buy it out.
Yep.
Ooh, bye.
Bye.